character in turbulent times. I've seen a lot of different characteristics of a lot of people during this time, especially while we're out shopping. I don't know if any of you guys have experienced that. Just dealing with, you know, just getting out in public and shopping. And of course, my job doesn't stop, so I have to put a Clorox in the and sanitize down constantly. But I did back in the day. I know they have the no touch rule, 6 feet spread apart. But I don't doubt that that's a problem, because in order for people to be able to sign the contract, they have to touch my surface and they have to use my pen. So that's out, unless you can open another way for them to sign. So they're trying to figure that out. But until then, me and Purell is always friends, but I've been using Purell since last year. I got sick because I became very aware that I don't want to be sick. So I think for me, when it's turbulent time, I feel like I don't blow things out of proportion too much, but I am aware. I don't care if I say, don't blow it out of proportion, but I am aware. And I know what sickness can do to the body. But I think, you know, in this time, this what's going on, looking at how people like, almost watch somebody fight over some water. Maybe threw the rest of their grocery on the floor, trying to chase somebody down for their water. I'm like, I said, that's just a call for the line with a lady who was very adamant, about 6 feet. I said, I hear you. I said, but when we get in the grocery store, that goes out the room, that goes out the door. I said, think about it. I said, yeah, I get what you're saying, but when I'm in the store, I don't think wait for me to stand at the end of the aisle. So I think we just have to be careful of hysteria and everything. But we're going to talk about what is your character. We're going to be over Kings, guys. First Kings of 1, chapter 5, verse 10.
Say that again for me.
First King, can you see the PowerPoint on the screen?
No, I'm not getting. Yes, I can now. Yeah, I just had to tap it. I got it.
Okay. Can everybody see the PowerPoint on the screen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I got it. Oh, I just want to go out there for a second to Sydney, when you were talking about signing, there's a thing called DocuSign that you might want to look into, because you're real fluent with the computer, so that would be good. You could just speak with them and email it to them if they got something, and they can DocuSign.
Yeah, believe it or not, we have that. Yeah.
Oh.
But they sometimes more effective than they've come to realize that it's more effective in getting them to sign versus the DocuSign. So, of course, your companies follow all the numbers and ratios they look at for clients.
Yeah, I'm just saying for this temporary moment to, you know, that what's going on.
I agree, but that's not my call.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, so I do agree, guys. Hey, but you know, I think about it. I think about what we're dealing with. I think about, you know, what is my character for turbulent times? You know, I've been in nursing homes and all kind of places. And so, just had a head wipe down back home. Go ahead. But anyway, over in First Kings, you know, my character, you know, over in First Kings, we're going to look at Solomon, Brother Adonijah, and we're going to look at the rest of his family, his other brother, Joab, and we're going to look at the priest, Brother Leah. Going to look at Benaiah, and there's a whole bunch of people paying to happen here, and I think it's a lot that we can learn from it, as we move forward and everything. Starting in the first king, verse 5, it says, now Adonijah, whose mother was Haggai, put himself forward and said, I will be king. So he got chariots and horses ready with 50 men to run ahead of him. His father had never rebuked him by asking, why do you behave as you do? He was also very handsome and was born next after Absalom. Adonijah conferred with Joab, son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest, and they gave him their support. But Zadok, the priest of royal officials of Judah, but he did not invite Nathan the prophet, nor Benaiah, or the special guardman of his brother's son. So obviously, there's something going on here. There's a plot. There's certain people involved, certain people invited, and certain people who were not invited. First of all, let's look them into who is Adoniah. Adoniah is the older and stepbrother of Solomon, fourth son of David and Haggai, right after Absalom. Said to be extremely good looking. Did some research. Apparently, he was a very good looking young man, very handsome. So, of course, I'm pretty sure his attractiveness played a part, and people wanted to get behind him and follow him. He is attempting to usurp the throne of David from Solomon. Basically, he's illegally wants to take the throne by force. That's what that means, to usurp, illegally take the throne by force. He conspires with his brother, Joab, and the priest, Abiathar, to make this happen. I mean, he ordains himself and throws his own unofficial ordination card. And what was in his life that left him to act like this? Why was this character flawed? Let's talk about that missing piece. I think in our character, sometimes we miss a lot of things. But one of the main things that can be missing in our character, if we don't embrace it, will be deciding. Disciple is so important. It helps to shape our character. It helps to shape who we are. It helps to shape us so that we can be just righteous men and women of God trying to live in this world. One thing I ask yourself is your character foolish because of the lack of disciples in your life? First six, it pointed out something specifically that stuck out about Adoniah. And it says, verse 6 says, get up and read it. It says, his father had never interfered with him by asking, why do you behave as you do? He was also very handsome and was born in Absalom. So it lets you know that David, long before these things happened, that he had a character of just doing things that were not right. And it says, David never interfered. David never basically discipled him or taught him about, why do you behave this way? We know what it's like to see a child in the store who just lets out have this bitter rage. And you're like, why is this child acting like this? Hey, man, this is what my child, this is what I would do. Those of us from old school would be like, I would pop that child right now in this store. You know, it's just basically like, there needs to be a correction. But it's clearly pointed out that there was no discipling in his life which caused him to continue to act in this way. Your character is only fooling. I'm sorry, isn't it foolish? Your character is only foolish when you have no one in your life to disciple. I think about that. I think about all the people who I have in my life that got me alone. I've got Richard. It's all you guys that Cora, Richard, Gloria, and all you guys, Patricia, to really help me when I need things in my life. But I also have brothers outside who I talk to. I bounce stuff off of. And that's the thing we have to look at, like, who do we have in our lives? Disciples across the world. I'm pretty sure we got friends all over the world. But you know, we have to be careful who we get discipled by. But it's important to have somebody so that we don't act foolish or make foolish decisions. You know, another thing is we have to think, man, do we refuse to be discipled? That's still standing. Do we refuse to be discipled? You know, are we foolish because we don't want the disciples, or are we foolish when we refuse to be disciple? A person, you know, God speaks to them, but a person leads correct, you know, basically what they're going to become, what they're going to look like. But you have to ask yourself, am I refusing correction? Am I refusing disciple? Am I refusing advice? You know, why are things the way they are? Is it because that I refuse to listen, or I do not want to listen? You and I must go after those discipling relationships. Mm-hmm. I go after tons of relationships, and it takes humility to do that. It takes a lot of humility. And that's one thing we have to embrace in pursuing a great disciple relationship, because they are beneficial. They help us. Those relationships help us so much. But we have to grasp. how we're responding, you know. And so I think about me responding, and I think about what people, and I feel like, God, you just, you carry this too far, but I have to check my own sensitivity toward how other people feel. And then I have to talk to people about getting discipled on it. I said, brother, you gotta be sensitive. I said, I'm not as sensitive about this as other people. I'm aware of sickness and illness, but I'm not as sensitive as I'm, because I'm still out there. I am still at their work, and I have to still work, you know, and I don't know if nobody's gonna pay my bills yet. They're gonna pay it for a long time. This disease could be around for 4 months. First week, now it's 2 weeks. Now there's some places there no more school happening, and it's getting longer and longer because they're trying to figure it out. But we need discipling in our lives to help us sort through things that we may not be seeing clearly. Clearly all the time. Relationships with a strong, loving, and challenging disciple is the difference maker for my character. Man, don't be in a disciple relationship with somebody that's just going to agree with you. It's going to make the conversations easy. It's going to make you feel comfortable. It's going to be like, oh, you're right. You feel that way. It's great. You know what? But instead, you need to be in a relationship with somebody who's strong. They have strong convictions about God. Strong convictions about his word. They have strong convictions about just the standard of the Bible and the standard of everything. They have those strong convictions. Somebody who's loving. Not only do they have that strong conviction about God and his word, but they also extending grace as their disciples. Man, if somebody's challenging, who's just going to not let you get away with stuff. Not that you just say, whatever, I can get away, I can step off, no big deal. But they're going to hold you challenge. You can see the difference in the people who are in a true, strong, loving, and challenging discipling relationship versus those who are just hanging out, fellowship, being buddy buddy. You can see the difference. And we need those type of relationships and I'm to be a difference maker. Discipling is so important, and we have to treat it that way and take it seriously. That's what we have to do. Next verse, guys, we're going to jump down to is our 1 Kings 1:28. So basically what's happening is, Adonijah, he has thrown this big party. He's trying to usurp. He's trying to take the throne by force. And, he has basically going to throw this huge party. And of course, a lot of the nation of Israel are following him. They come to the party, slaughtered. He's doing all the traditional things that kings do, slaughtering the bulls and cattle, throwing a big, big party. Word gets back to Nathan. Word gets back to Benaiah. Word gets back to the Sheba and all and Solomon what's going on. And they have a conversation with David. And they said, David, don't you remember the promise that you said that Solomon would be the heir to the throne? Well, this is what is going on. And so Bathsheba has a conversation with him. Nathan has a conversation with him. And they address this issue. And so in response, David responds by saying this in verse 28. It says, then the King David said, calling Bathsheba, so she came into the king's presence and stood before him. The king then took an oath, as surely as the Lord lives, who has delivered me out of every trouble, I will surely carry out this very day. But I swore to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, Solomon your son shall be king after me, and he will sit on my throne in my place. Then Bathsheba bowed down with her face the ground, prostrated herself before the king, and said, may my lord King David live forever. King David said, call in Zadok, the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, son of Hodah. When they came before the king, he said to them, take your lord's servants with you, and have Solomon, my son, mount my own mule, and take him down to Gihon. There have Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel. necessarily knowing what to do with people kind of going on their own feelings, and they're just kind of, it's like, man, I'm going to do whatever I think is right, and whatever you're going to say about the end, you know, there's certain things that are show up in our character. But before we talk about what needs to show up in our character, let's just examine who David was, who David is. David is a shepherd boy, fought and slayed wild animals to protect the flock. David became the savior of Israel by killing Goliath. David was Saul's top general and warrior, leading and winning many campaigns for the king and the nation of Israel. David, man, was best friend with the king's son, Jonathan. David became a man after God, David became king after Saul's and Jonathan's death. He committed sin against God by sleeping with Bathsheba and killing her husband. Man, he paid for his sins and repented, and therefore and became a man after God's own heart. And this is just a little glimpse of who David was through the ages and through his life. But when there's chaos in the land, David had to establish order. Why order? To stop confusion and unrighteousness, to ensure stability for the kingdom going forward. Point two, we need to have a character of order. You know, sometimes our character can be chaotic. Our character can be all the place. When people see you, they define you by your character. Some of them say, man, that's a strange character like that. They're saying that that character, that person's strange. Man, that's a wild character. We're saying that that person is wild. But what would people say about our character? That's what we want to know. What would people say about our character in these turbulent times? In times when people are sure. In times when people are just panicking and freaking out. In times when the news is constantly feeding. And some news feeding it like this is a doomsday type thing going on. And then some news feeding it is like, well, here's the facts. Here's where we're at. This is what we need to do. But through all of it, what will our character be like? Ask yourself, is your life in order or is there chaos? Just think about it. In order or is there chaos? I think about, man, just cleaning up, you know. It's a whole new experience just trying to clean up and, you know, doing a lot of stuff, you know, and taking care of the wife. I was telling the brother, taking care of Sharice is a big responsibility. I said, you know, when she first got to the hospital and taking care of life has been going on. I said, I remember just one time I was cooking dinner and my wife told me, she's like, yuck, this is not good. And I said, what's wrong? She said, it's the same. And I was like, okay. I said, brother, I started watching Food Network. I had to learn how to cook. I needed to watch Food Network to bring something different to the table to make sure that she would be fed and able to eat. And I said that not only did we clear up all that, but I learned how to become a good cook. You know, I'm making a lot of dishes I've never made, learning how to do some things. I said, oh, amazing. Look, I even had thoughts of like, maybe I quit my job and go to culinary school, you know. empanadas. I said, oh, it's on. It's empanadas. What's going on? Everybody ate them up. So just but you know, I had to bring a little of this chaos down and bring a little order to the chaos that was happening with my cooking. She's like, it's old, it's bland, it's not. So let this turn to make fun. Okay, as I said, wait, your life in order, or is there chaos? Are you a balance for those around you who are living in a panic state? There's just some people scared to death. Literally. I thought when I watched the news the other night, I seen we had our first death in Mississippi. He died in Louisiana, but he was from Hancock County. Oh boy, it's finna get a little worse. And I thought, man, what can I be to the people around me? What do I need to be for the people around me? You know, because people ask me. I go out to see clients every day. I saw a young boy, 23. He's just coming from the jail. Man, what do you think about this? He's young. He thinks he's invincible. So I said, you know, peace. And I said, of course, I'm saying, you know, just your peace has got to be with God. You know, just can't worry. Worry your kid faster than anything else. But I had to be bored to him. Like I am to all my clients. They all ask me. I'm like, you got to be a sounding board. Got to be a sounding board. Bring peace to people's lives. Man, do not resources to stay in touch with the world, which allowed him to bring order to his kingdom. And he needed to bring order to his kingdom because his other son was doing something that was not right and unrighteous. And his other son was misleading the people. He was confusing them. But David took his resources from where he's at and gave order to what needed to happen. And because of that, he brought order to the kingdom. People need to see our character in order, not in confusion during this time. That's what people need to see. They need to see our character is in order and not in confusion during this time. We need to lead people in the right direction and not allow the enemy to mislead them. The enemy is so many people that they're cleaning shells. I say, this is crazy. And a lot of people are not so, I think it's so lucky to me and blessed as me to travel so many different places. Because, you know, I would go to the Kroger and they clean out half the time. But because of my job, I go to other stores, I'm like, you know, so I'm able to like, well, I'm going to stop here, I'm going to wait, I'm going to stop here. And a lot of people don't know that, but if people didn't know that, they would ransack the store. You need to lead people in the right direction. You need to have people to not fall into the trap of the enemy. The enemy wants to panic and make bad decisions, to make a foolish decision, to make decisions. I guarantee that people that spend their whole paycheck banking on the energy, gas companies, they're going to turn them off. But unless an executive order goes in place, they will be in the dark. They will be complaining, or they'll be without gas. They'll be complaining. They'll be without water. They'll be complaining. We have to help lead them in the right direction. People are looking for answers. The question to you and I is, will you help? You know, there are people right now online. I'm getting emails from people saying, hey, it's almost like the way they're speaking is like, it's you know, like it's the end of, like the world's coming into tomorrow. I'm getting emails from people offering me help in times like this. Do you need to talk? What can we do? We can help. I'm like, that's amazing. I say, they're using their resources, you know, but are we using our resources to reach out? There are people on Facebook put stuff up. Hey, you want to study the Bible? Hey, hit me up. Send me a private message. You know, I guarantee you, we have to go out in public. Every one of us, as much as we're keeping social distancing, you have to go get gas. And if you're on medication, you're going to have to go to the pharmacy and lift the pharmacy delivers. You have to do that. But while you're out, a conversation with people, you kind of hear them. If they're certainly scared enough, not sure, say, hey, well, maybe we can talk. You know what? Let's get together over the phone. Or, hey, let's get together over Zoom. You can get Zoom for free, and it allows you to have three people. Anything beyond that, yeah, you'll have to pay. But Zoom allows you to get around with three other people. You can have great conversations. Great time for Bible studies to help. Great to help people. People are looking for answers. People are looking for peace. They want it to be over. But will you help? People want order restored. There are those of us in our world, they want order restored. But will you help? People want a relationship with God. Will that's the key. People want a relationship with God. But the question is, are we going to help? Let's make the most of this opportunity. Take advantage of this time. It's crazy. God has allowed this to happen. The world's being shaken up. But this is a great time to deal with people and help them. Now, whether they decide to gravitate toward God's word and be empowered and be filled up and be at peace, that's going to be on them. For you and I, man, let's make this opportunity to show them what a character in order looks like. Show them that we have peace. Show them that we are balanced. Show them that we are aware, but we're not scared. We are faithful. We are not fearful. No. Man, we trust in God. Let's show them that. Finally, guys, 1 Kings 3:14. So, David reestablishes order in his kingdom. Solomon has a few words with his stepbrother, Adonijah, and he has a words with Joab, the other brother, and he has words with the priest, Abathar, and he gives them specific instructions about what not to do and what they should do. But of course, Adonijah and Joab, they end up losing their life eventually because, once again, they said, ask whatever you want me to give you. Solomon asked, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you in righteousness and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment and administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there would never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I would give you what you have not asked for, wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life. Wow, what a conversation with me. Some things we can learn from here. Finally, we need to have a character of prayer. Character of prayer. Yep. So what do you pray for? Think about it. In the last several days, what have you been praying for? Think about it. We all have different perspectives on what's going on. We all have different perspectives about where life is at now for us individually. I've been at home since what? Friday afternoon, Saturday. I won't be out working tomorrow, and I'm not mad. But I do pray for the world. Yeah, but I pray for me also, that I'm going to end the world. You know, prayer is so important in our character. People need to see us as a praying people who believe in the things that we pray for and who we pray to. Man, prayer is genuine. When you pray, is your prayer genuine? Is your presence here? I looked at Solomon's prayer, and God found Solomon's prayer to be genuine. He says, man, you didn't ask for a long life, and you didn't ask for a lot of money. You just asked for wisdom. And I think for most of us now, we'd be like, well, I don't know, Lord, a lot of money right now. I'd love to win the club, just carrying out sweet state, Lord. You know, that'd be great, you know. Or, you know, a lot of people, man, I would like to live long. But that was not Solomon's prayer. Solomon's prayer is more concerned for the people around him. He was more concerned about the people around him and taking care of them. Your prayer, is it selfless? Is your prayer always focused on you? Now, we need to pray about ourselves, but is your prayer selfless? Solomon had a selfless prayer. He really knew that the people were really kind of spiritually destitute. They didn't need guidance. They didn't need direction. He knew that this was an overwhelming job. See, man, this job of minister to your people. It's big, it's huge. He says they are too numerous to count. And that's a throwback to what God promised Abraham. You know, as numerous as the stars in the skies and as the sands on the beach, you know. But is it selfless? We have a lot of needs and we pray for a lot of things that we want. And God wants to hear our prayers. But are our prayers always about us? Do you pray about your character? And let's face it, we have some things about us that we need to work on. We have some things about us we need to work on. Struggle with a brother. And another brother saying, you know, Sydney, I have a problem with authority. I said, well, brother, you get in line behind me. And I said, well, pray the Bible. I tell God, I don't think Paul was the worst of sinners. No. I don't think I can take that. We all have something in our character that we have to work on. Maybe we have a problem with authority. Maybe for some reason we feel like we're just entitled. But we start trying to take things forcefully. We need to pray about that. Man, we need to pray about how we represent God. You know, we have kids. And a lot of, I think everybody got kids, you know, and well, take it back, most of us have kids. But our kids don't realize that when they go out, they represent our name, mm-hmm. our family name. And give kids as much advice as you want, and they go make some decisions, you're like, man, they just do not get it. But they're like us. When we went out, we represented the family name, but we didn't think nothing about it. We think, well, that's going to be all right. Realize that we represent God. When we say that I am a disciple, I am a Christian, I am a child of God, when I'm out in public, dealing with the public, dealing with people, dealing with this social distancing, dealing with people who are acting erratic in their behaviors, not right. Who's going to show up in response to their behavior? Is it going to be me? Or will it be God? How do I represent God during these turbulent times? Prayer. Do you pray about your heart and your attitude? Man, that those things need attention every day. Our heart and our attitude needs attention every day. It needs constant prayer. It needs for us to check it every day at the door. Because if we don't pray about our heart and attitude, it will get away. And it will do more harm to us than harm to those who come in contact with us. We need to pray about our hearts and our attitude. Do you pray about your relationship with God? Do you value that relationship? Is that relationship valuable to you? Do you appreciate it? Do you cherish it? Do you take care of it? You know, I think about David. After all the things that David went through and David did, he ended up being the only man that we know of that God considered to be a man after his own heart. David had to work through that. All the stuff he did and went through. That's why he wrote them long songs. That was a brother, true example of wailing, crying, begging, petitioning to God. Confessing. Man, do you pray about your relationship with God? Have to remember your character speaks volume about who you are and who you represent. Sometimes we can't forget that. We can forget that going in public. We can forget that. It's just amazing. We have to remember. We cannot have a lapse in judgment, a lapse in memory. We have to remember that our character, whenever we step out in public, is being observed. And that everything we do in the name of Jesus, man, it speaks volumes and it shows and people observe. And they watch and they see. If that's worth following, if that's worth imitating, if that is someone who can help me because they like what they see. Remember, your character speaks volume about who you are and who you represent. Finally, how to approach God in prayer. I think that's going to be a key thing. To develop a true character prayer, it's all about how you approach God in prayer. You gotta be thankful. You gotta be thankful always. We gotta have genuine and true conversations with God. We have to have those genuine and true conversations, open hearts, conversation with God. Withholding nothing back. And it's amazing. God knows what's already in us, but we need to hold nothing back. We need to approach God with humility. Solomon had so much humility when he approached God. So much humility. He reminded God of all his kindness that he did for his father. All the things that he's done for him. He reminded God, said, I am grateful. You've done so much for my family. So much for my family. And even now, with the position I'm in, you're still doing so much. He says, God, but I need your help. He said, I need your help. What's going on now is too big. It's just too big for me. I need your help. You know, the world is in a world's in a turbulent time, but it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. The order will be restored. It's going to be okay. But we need to play our part in it. We need to play our part. 75. We still been touching me during this climb. She deliberately touched me. This man from Trader Joe's. But I didn't freak out. See, so keep it sense today. So okay, this is not the end of the world. And just keep going. People touch my pen always. But I like, I gotta think about my wife when I have to wipe that pen off every time. And I went over to one of those elderly homes. A client called me and I'm thinking like, he's like, I'm saying, man, look, he's not worried about it. But I still have to take precaution to make sure I wipe and stay clean for him. You know, he's not worried about it. And even though my character, Sydney Dark's thought process is, it's okay. You're not gonna blow us out of proportion. I still have to take the necessary precautions. That's right. To protect everybody. You know, I look at Solomon, how he approaches God in prayer. I look at how I need to approach God in prayer. Humility. A lot of humility. And realizing that I need God and that I cannot do nothing or accomplish anything without God. There's a lot of people that needs us to minister to them in our counties, Rankin, Madison, and Hammond. They need us to minister to them. We cannot be afraid. We cannot be afraid to minister to them. Use your resources. Zoom, I love it. I think this is a great platform. I had to do some research, get some help. But I think it's a great platform. It allows us to connect. So amazing. If I wanted to meet one of you guys, I could meet one of you guys in public. We just have to do social distance. We just have to like, hey, I don't know, stand on one corner, stand on one corner, you know? But, you know, we are still able to get out and administer to the lost. Administer to God's other people. We are still able to be a light in this city during a time that looks very dark for them. Our city needs us. We need each other. How do you approach God in prayer concerning what's going on? How would you ask God to help you to administer to his people? How he has asked God to empower you to be able to go out with no fear, with all wisdom, and say, God, let me meet somebody today. Let me have a great conversation. Let me swap numbers. Let me let them know, hey, I'm going to send you an email on Zoom. We'll talk on Zoom. Use your resources. Find a way. Finally, guys, what will define your character during these times? What is it going to be for you? How will you be defined? How will you be remembered during this time? If the coronavirus shakes you up bad enough to where you won't do nothing or take no action, man, the next virus is going to shut you down. Mm-hmm. The next episode, the next pandemic is going to shut you down. It will. It'll make you stop talking to everybody. Mm-hmm. Your house will lock the room up. People seal it up. What's that thing on TV? Phone seal, what they got in that glass bowl, whatever. You can seal the house with everything. But we can't live like that. Disciples are not meant to live like that. Children of God, we are not meant to live like that. No. No, we're not. Let's get out there. Let's not let the circumstances of the world define our character, but instead, great disciple, great order, not chaos. Prayer. Let our character be defined by prayer. Speaking with God and trusting God. Let's let the world see who we really are. As we're going to close up with a word of prayer here, we're still on. Miss Patricia, you still on there?